So to summarize the progressive development of these seven factors of enlightenment, we start with associating with the noble ones who have perfected. Remember, this goes all the way up to the arahants dwelling in the pure abodes, the highest being the Akinita Brahma realm. If we keep the precepts and are easy to instruct, they will help us. So the Buddha has said, when we associate with the noble ones, we hear the Dhamma from them. Having heard the Dhamma, we get inspired and make time for physical and mental seclusion so we can practice. So for lay people, you set aside time for this, whether it's half an hour, a day or more. And remember, this is not something you do at work, because when you go to work, you're paid to work and not while you're busy with other responsibilities. So you set time aside for the withdrawal or the seclusion, and then you gradually develop and chip away at this Dhamma. So then when we are secluded, we recollect the Dhamma and think it over so we can arouse Satisambhujanga. As we went through, we can establish mindfulness through the contemplation of, if it is impermanent, suffering, subject to change, is it fit to be regarded as me and mine? The important thing here is to thoroughly investigate aging, sickness, and death. Make sure there's no defects in our contemplation. If there is death, there is no permanency, and we realize we're holding on to physical nutriment as the perception of self, or me and mine, which is causing us huge problems. We did this in our past birth, and when we died, we birthed this other one, thinking it was a good idea out of craving and ignorance. And here we are again on the same trajectory. So in our meditation, seeing with wisdom, having investigated it, we give up the physical nutriment. And when we acknowledge the sickness in our perceptions, it helps us to establish mindfulness and arouse the enlightenment factor of mindfulness, develop it, and so it can come to fulfillment. Then dwelling mindfully, we now discriminate, parvichinati, examine, parvicharati, make an investigation, parivimamsa, mapajati, of the Dhamma with wisdom. So these three terms are very important when it comes to developing wisdom and understanding Dhamma. We make the effort to discriminate the arising phenomena of suffering, particularly physical nutriment, how we cannot construct anything that lasts. Therefore, if we come to another birth, to dependent origination, we can only expect this whole mass of suffering. So our predicament is dire, it's fatal, and it's imbued with life. Then we contemplate the passing away phenomena of suffering and see that if we don't construct, then it all ceases. So we examine both arising and passing away. Then with the investigation or full inquiry, having seen the truth clearly, we now heavily incline towards the complete cessation of suffering. So this is how we arouse Dhammavicaya Sambhujanga and develop it to come to fulfillment. So when we investigate this Dhamma and incline towards the cessation of all suffering, our energy and effort is aroused without slackening, without wavering. We don't want any unarisen, unwholesome to arise. If it arises, we immediately abandon it because we don't want it to increase and expand. And we arouse energy so we develop wholesome Dhammas and maintain them. So this is massive, unwavering effort towards Nibbana. This is how we arouse the Virya Sambhujanga and develop it so it can come to fulfillment. When we develop with mindfulness, investigate the Dhamma and arouse energy towards the complete cessation of suffering, then rapture free of sensuality arises. So as we said, this is a Dhamma Niyama. When this rapture arises, it helps us to go beyond rapture from sensual pleasures because we understand it is so much better. We feel it physically and mentally, and it can become very strong. It's similar to the rapture of first and second jhana. And this is how we arouse Piti Sambhujanga, and we need it to ensure we develop it well so that it can come to fulfillment as the basis for Pasadi Sambhujanga. And when our mind is uplifted with rapture, we're so happy. So our body becomes tranquil and our mind becomes tranquil. And to arouse Pasadi Sambhujanga, we need to ensure that we have tranquility of the mind and tranquility of our mental state. So we apply something like Patthubhamma Sutta. For example, we ensure we don't have unskilled states like derogation, disparaging, envy, and stinginess. If they are there, we abandon them. We do our inner bathing. In this way, our mind and mental states are tranquilized and we don't allow it to get sick again. This is how we arouse Pasavi Sambhujanga and develop it so it can come to fulfillment. And then when the body is tranquil and the mind is happy, the mind becomes concentrated. Again, this is the Dhamma Niyama, the result of contemplating with wisdom and making effort towards developing bhujangas. This concentration has the desire for the complete cessation of suffering. So it's a desire for Nibbana. This is how we arouse the Samadhi Sambhojanga and develop it so it can come to fulfillment. And then we closely and carefully examine the concentration that has arisen with Samadhi Sambhojanga and make sure there are no flaws. If we see that we are grasping to pleasure due to concentration, then we understand attachment lies latent in that pleasurable feeling. And we remember that this pleasurable feeling is subject to change and is also suffering. Realizing this, we want to purify our mindfulness and go beyond pleasure and pain. So we go towards equanimity, which is much more pure, more stable, more concentrated. And so this is how we arouse the Upayaka Sambhojanga and develop it so it can come to fulfillment. So that's a quick summary of how to develop the seven factors of enlightenment progressively and how they're connected. The more Dhamma we can understand with wisdom, the more skilled we can become with arousing and developing these bhujangas. And the actual experience of developing the bhujangas is very illuminating. It's a very brightening practice. The mind is uplifted. It's not sick. And it feels like there is a lot of energy during and after, and a very real ability to penetrate the Dhamma, to know what the Buddha means. And there's also a profound inner happiness that one's on the right path, slanting and sloping and inclining towards Nibbana. Even when we progress with the arousing factors, so the first four bhujangas, to the calming factors, the last three bhujangas, it's not a dull process. So if there's dullness in the mind, then hindrances are arising or they're there. It could be the lack of proper development of one or more of the bhujangas, maybe even right from the start. Likewise, if the mind is imbued with sensual desire, ill will, restlessness, worry, doubt, then those other hindrances are also there. We need to be able to see the nature of the mind, diagnose where we've gone wrong. Wrong view always means sick perceptions of permanency, pleasure, taking it as me and mine. So we should be able to see when each bhujanga is present and know it is present. Likewise, we should be able to see when each bhujanga is absent and know that it is absent. And this is part of the skill of developing the bhujangas. When they are all active, it is then possible to think of each one, move through each one, just as Venerable Sariputta would do so, like changing clothes. It's like the Dhamma behind activating each bhujanga makes that possible. So when you think of a particular bhujanga, all that Dhamma that has been understood comes to the forefront of the mind for that bhujanga, and you know it's active, something like that.